The Indiana Baptist Historical Society is pleased to present the following lectures given by Terry Wolliver of the Particular Baptist Press. Part 3. Helpful Aids to Researching American Baptist History.
Welcome to our last session, which will be Helpful Aids to Baptist Historical Research in America. This paper will be made available by the Indiana Baptist Historical Society in the form of a booklet, and we will have these available on our website at Particular Baptist Press, pbpress.org. Helpful Aids to Baptist Historical Research in America, an introductory guidebook presenting some of the key resources to assist students of Baptist history. A lot of times, a person may not know what's available as far as the resources to use in Baptist historical research. And so these are things that I've learned over the years that I would like to share with you and make generally available. And we start off with this quote by Thomas Armitage: "A history of Baptists should be understood in its objects and aims and cleared in the beginning of misapprehension and perversion. It is not the history of a nationality or race or an organization, but of a people, traced by their vital principles and gospel practices. The unity must be exhibited and demonstrated was not brought about by force, by coercion of pains and penalties, by repressive and punitive acts of conformity, but by the recognition and adoption of a common authoritative and completed divine standard." This booklet is intended to be a means of setting before both the beginner and the seasoned researcher in Baptist history some of the publications that are present. This booklet is intended to be a means of setting before both the beginner and the seasoned researcher in Baptist history some of the publications that have proven to be the most beneficial to the author over the years. Depending upon your own field of study, other material can certainly be suggested. But what is aimed at here is a starting place in which we'll look not only at some of the commonly agreed upon resources that are of great value, but also the unconventional and perhaps even seldom known or considered sources. In both instances, it is hoped that something new will be brought to light and made especially helpful to the reader. As far as general histories go, David Benedict, A General History of the Baptist Denomination in America and Other Parts of the World. Originally published at Boston in 1813, this work was updated and reissued in various editions published in New York between 1848 and 1860. Hampered by inadequate indexes, the reader will nonetheless find the work of tremendous benefit in many ways. And of course, the later editions from 1848 onward, in those states that were not in existence in 1813. And so both are of equal value in their respective areas. Thomas Armitage, History of the Baptists Traced by Their Vital Principles and Practices from the Time of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the Year 1886. This has been reprinted in a number of editions since and is still an outstanding Baptist work. Encyclopedias and other reference works. William Cathcart, The Baptist Encyclopedia. That's these two volumes here. Sometimes you'll find them issued in one volume, but a lot of times they come in two volumes. These are still readily available on the internet. They come up all the time on eBay or abebooks.com, and oftentimes you can purchase an original set cheaper than you can buy one of the reprints. Its full title is The Baptist Encyclopedia, A Dictionary of the Doctrines, Ordinances, Usages, Confessions of Faith, Sufferings, Labors, and Successes, and of the General History of the Baptist Denomination in All Lands, with numerous biographical sketches of distinguished American and foreign Baptists, and a supplement. Philadelphia, 1881. The revised edition was published in 1883. Contrary to a popular misconception, and this is a very strong popular misconception, William Cathcart, 1826 to 1908, did not write all or perhaps even most of the articles in his encyclopedia. And I'm often struck by that fact when somebody will say, Cathcart says this about this individual or Cathcart says that about this individual, when actually we don't know whether he even wrote the article on that person or not. He was actually aided significantly in the work by an illustrious array of ministers and historians, 65 of whom are named in the preface to the Baptist Encyclopedia, from all over the country and Canada, who contributed articles and other information. At this date, therefore, it cannot be stated with certainty what articles were actually written by whom, although we are told that Samuel M. Shute, 1823 to 1902, for example, quote, at the request of Reverend Dr. Cathcart, prepared the biographical sketches contained in this work of the ministers and laymen of Maryland, Virginia, and the District of Columbia. And you'll find that on page 1058 of the Baptist Encyclopedia. He did articles on that particular state. So if you're going to say, I said something about somebody in those particular areas, then you know it was him. Many of those writing the articles lived through the events and knew the persons firsthand of whom they wrote. Underrated and criticized public will greatly repay those who will learn to mine its treasures. And I count it a high value to have Cathcart's Baptist Encyclopedia in my library. There were two editions issued in 1881. The early ones without supplements, which this is interesting because when a company down in Arkansas reprinted Cathcart's Encyclopedia, it reprinted an edition that did not have the supplements in it. And actually, if you were aware that there were editions with supplements in it, that would be the one you would want to reprint. They didn't. So there were two editions issued in 1881, the early ones without supplements and the late ones with two supplements of added biographies labeled as pages 1310 to 1310R. The revised 1883 edition distinguished the title page in red and black, renumbered the supplements. History buffs should therefore seek out either the late 1881 or 1883 editions for more complete work. If you find a set on eBay, it's simple enough just to send a message to the person selling it and ask them, does it have the supplements in the back? And they can tell you what they do before you buy them. Secondly, Gideon A. Burgess and John T. Ward, editors, the Free Baptist Encyclopedia, Historical and Biographical. This was published in Boston in 1889. It's constructed along the same lines as Cathcart's, but devoted exclusively to Free Will Baptists. Cathcart would involve mostly the regular Baptists. And so this encyclopedia was done strictly on the Free Will Baptists, and it's almost the same size as Cathcart's. There is a particular volume of this available over at the CBC Library. Norman W. Cox and Judson B. Allen, etc., Encyclopedia of Southern Baptists. This was published in Nashville by Broadman Press, originally in two volumes in 1958. It's been followed by a series of supplemental volumes. I've seen at least four to six of those supplemental volumes. It contains many exceptional biographical and state articles. 4. Edward C. Starr, compiler and editor, a Baptist bibliography being a register of printed material by and about Baptists, including works written against the Baptists. Philadelphia Judson Press and Chester, Pennsylvania, American Baptist Historical Society, volumes 2 and following. 25 volumes published between 1947 and 1976. This was Brother Starr's work. He compiled this complete, as far as he knew, bibliography, of all works written by and about and against Baptists. And he died the year I graduated in 1976. Graduated high school in 1976. And I would have liked to have gotten to know him. But he died in St. Louis. And virtually unknown at that time. He was curator of the American Baptist Historical Society for many decades. Fourth, H. Leon Macbeth, A Source Book for Baptist Heritage, Nashville, Broadman Press, 1990. Contains an important array of original source documents from the 17th century to the 20th. And it's especially notable for having the so-called Kippen manuscript transcribed in full in there. And it's worth having, if only for that. National Denominational Histories, Colonial to the Early National Period. Isaac Backus is noted as the historian for New England Baptists. Morgan Edwards is the historian for the Middle Colonies and Southern Colonies. They were contemporaries of one another, and Edwards no doubt felt like he didn't need to duplicate or overlap Isaac Backus's work, and they were writing basically about the same time their histories in the 1770s. And so he borrowed from Isaac Backus, and Isaac Backus borrowed information from him in their respective histories. But number one, Isaac Backus, A History of New England with Particular Reference to the Denomination of Christian Baptists, originally published in three volumes in 1777, 1784, and 1796. The set was reprinted in a two-volume second edition with notes by David Weston in 1871. For the collector, the original volumes are now very hard to come by, but the second edition, which has many valuable notes, has been recently reprinted. So the second edition is handier to use, but for those who like the original first editions, they're hard to come by. I do have volumes 1 and 2 here that I've had rebound of the first edition set, but I have not yet found a volume 3. Morgan Edwards, Materials Towards the History of the American Baptists. He collected his materials between the years 1770 and 1792. It was his intention to produce a 12-volume set on all of the colonies and states of the then United States at that time, Maine being a part of Massachusetts until 1820. There were only 12 states. So he gathered information on the Baptists by state. Now, when you consider the fact that he did this on horseback and went to these ministers' homes one at a time, he gives an interesting story in his Materials Towards the History of the Baptists where he went and visited this minister, and then he lost the papers on the biographical sketch of him, and he tells you in there, he said, I was only able to remember that he was born here and he ministered here. And he said it was too far to go back across an icy lake to get back over there and get the information. So it was a difficult process, and we don't appreciate that in our day and time where we have such readily accessible material through computers and the internet. But as valuable as they are, only two of the volumes were printed in Edwards' lifetime, Pennsylvania 1770 and New Jersey 1792. And I actually, when I was in Oklahoma, I did facsimile reprints of both of these volumes in 1998, the Pennsylvania volume and the New Jersey volume, and they were individually hand-bound, and I think they're only in libraries now, or in very few collections. And remarkably, only five total by 1930. Now, I say 1930 because the North Carolina volume was reprinted in the North Carolina Historical Review, and I went looking for this on eBay, and I found it. And it's bound volume, North Carolina Historical Review, Volume 7, 1930, has Morgan Edwards, Materials Towards the History of the Baptists in North Carolina, as transcribed with notes by George W. Pascal. So if you find that, it's worth having. And then I've got the individual volumes listed and their publication dates. Morgan Edwards' Materials Towards the History of the Baptists in Pennsylvania, published at Philadelphia in 1770. Materials Towards the History of the Baptists in New Jersey, published in 1792. Materials Towards the History of the Baptists in Delaware, or Volume 3, edited by Horatio Gates Jones, Jr. in the Pennsylvania Magazine of History and Biography. Philadelphia, the Historical Society of Pennsylvania, Volume 9, 1885, Number 1, April 45 through 61, and Number 2, July 197 to 213. I did not have that particular volume. I went on Google Books, and it is available on Google Books, so I downloaded it, put it in a folder with the original title page, and now I have my own collection, and you can do this as well. And I've used that quite a few times. Same thing with Morgan Edwards' Materials Towards the History of the Baptists in Rhode Island. This time it was edited by Horatio Gates Jones, Jr. in the collections of the Rhode Island Historical Society, Providence, Rhode Island, Hammond, Angell and Company, Volume 6, 1867, 301 to 370. I do have a original copy of that, but that may be available on Google Books as well. You would have to check. And again, Morgan Edwards' Materials Towards the History of the Baptists in the Province of North Carolina, published in the North Carolina Historical Review, 1930. Over half a century later, the remaining volumes were published in Eve B. Weeks and Mary B. Warren editors, Materials Towards the History of the Baptists by Morgan Edwards, A.M., Danielsville, Georgia, Heritage Papers, 1984, two volumes. Produced by two Methodist ladies for genealogical purposes, these volumes fill in the additional manuscript histories by Edwards on Maryland, Virginia, South Carolina, and Georgia. The manuscripts are missing for the states of New York, cited from by both William Parkinson and David Benedict, Massachusetts, and presumably Connecticut. Those three are missing. Nobody knows where they are. Note, the Weeks Warren edition is soon to be replaced by the much anticipated scholarly edition being produced by Mercer University Press. It should be the definitive edition and well worth having, so watch for that in the next few years. The value, Backus and Edwards are the starting place for any colonial American Baptist research, whether biographical, associational, or regional history. They knew each other and shared their material. The next book I list there is The Baptists of Early America, a Statistical History, 1839 to 1790 by Robert G. Gardner, Atlanta, Georgia Baptist Historical Society, 1983. Contains maps showing the location of the early Baptist churches in the U.S., Canada, and the West Indies, together with membership information and bibliography of sources for each state. Note, use Gardner's work as a companion to John Asplin, which it is keyed to. This is a very useful and valuable resource which is still available in quite a bargain at $38. That is this book right here. As you can see, here's the section on Tennessee. All the churches are listed, their dates, membership, and where they were located within the state. This is an invaluable resource tool for Baptists in early America, up to 1790, or the first census. Ethnic Baptist Histories and State Baptist Histories. Depending on your area of interest, published works are available which focus. Depending on your area of interest, published works are available which focus exclusively, for example, on Swedish Baptists, Norwegian Baptists, Hispanic Baptists, Black Baptists, Indian Baptists, German Baptists, Oriental Baptists, etc. in America. A good, concise overview of these may be seen in H. Leon Macbeth, The Baptist History, may be seen in H. Leon Macbeth, The Baptist Heritage, pages 724 to 749 and 776 to 790. Consult also chapter 12 on the European Baptists and the bibliography for a guide to published works of interest. Number 2, Benjamin F. Riley, History of the Baptists of Texas, Dallas, 1907. I include this book because it is noted by Baptist historian Robert G. Torbett for being well organized. Use it as a guide in this light. You could purchase a copy of that to use if you were going to venture out in writing a state history that has not been written. Note, few persons are interested in a general survey when it comes to either an individual or state denominational history or a specific church's history. Serious readers want detail in these works, and this is well demonstrated by the fact that only the more detailed histories are ever in demand or reprinted. So you should be keeping that in mind. A lot of times publishers will want you to publish an overview, something for the average person. Well, those overviews have little value in the long run, and they are seldom reprinted. So if you're going to do the job, you might as well do it in detail and full, give a full history. Baptist Periodicals. The Massachusetts Baptist Missionary Magazine, Boston, edited by Thomas Baldwin, 4 volumes. Volume 1, beginning in 1803, and ending in Volume 4 to 1816, a very valuable set. I have 2 sets of these. This one I had rebound recently. Very valuable set for early American Baptist history in the early 19th century. And not only does it have biographical sketches, it has itinerant journals of missionaries who were doing traveling for the Massachusetts Baptist Missionary Society at that time that was going up into the Northeast, into Maine, New York, and Vermont, New Hampshire, and as well as up into Canada. So even Canadian Baptist researchers can benefit from these particular volumes. The Western New York Baptist Magazine, Norwich and Morrisville, New York, 3 volumes, 1860 to 1820. Valuable, but a very scarce set. I only have volumes 1 and 3, and none of these are available on the internet yet. So I still lack volume 2, but very valuable set of books. The American Baptist Magazine and Missionary Intelligencer, Boston, 1817 to 1824, again edited by Thomas Baldwin. This periodical supplanted the Massachusetts Baptist Missionary Magazine, which, as we indicated earlier, ended in the year 1816. So the American Baptist Magazine picked up in 1817 and was still produced by the same editor. This periodical became simply the American Baptist Magazine, 1825 to 45, then the Baptist Missionary Magazine, 1846 to 1909, when it discontinued publication. The volumes from 1817 to 1834 are by far the most important for national information. The volumes thereafter are devoted almost exclusively to foreign missions. Now, if you're into the foreign mission field, then those subsequent volumes are more valuable than the earlier ones. Might possibly be. The Christian Watchman, Boston, 1819 to 1848, various editors, contains historical articles and biographical essays not found elsewhere. The Columbian Star, Philadelphia, a weekly paper edited by Luther Rice, William T. Brantley Sr., and others, 1828 to 1829, when it was combined with the Christian Index, Washington, D.C., to become the Columbian Star and Christian Index, 1829 to 1830, and then became simply the Christian Index and was subsequently moved to Georgia in 1833, where it has continued publication to the present. Notable Southern editors included Jesse Mercer and more recently Al Mohler. It may be the oldest continuously published Baptist journal in America. I'm just not sure. The Christian Review, Boston. That is this book right here. A little known but significant Baptist periodical. Had various editors. 28 volumes, 1836 to 1863. It ended during the Civil War time, the hard times of the Civil War. Valuable not only for many of its articles, but also for its monthly list of ordinations and deaths of Baptist ministers. Every month at the end of the Christian Review and also at the end of some other periodicals like the Baptist Memorial, they would publish a list of ordinations, new churches that were started, and deaths of Baptist ministers, when and where they died. The Baptist Memorial and Monthly Record, various editors and publishers. 15 volumes, 1842 to 1856. Volumes 1 through 12 were printed in New York by three different publishers over the years, John R. Bigelow, then Martin Eli and Company, and finally Z.P. Hatch. The name of the periodical was changed to the American Baptist Memorial in 1854 and published in Philadelphia by King and Baird until June 1855. It was then acquired by Basil Manley, Jr., who served as its editor in the final double volume, July 1855 to December 1856, published at Richmond, Virginia. Valuable in many ways, most notably for its biographies, engraved portraits, church histories, denominational statistics, and general information not to be found elsewhere. This important magazine is only of late being rediscovered and appreciated, and most of these volumes can be downloaded now off the internet. So look for them under Google Books. The New York Chronicle, edited by Orrin B. Judd. That's these two volumes right here. There were only 24 issues of this periodical made, but it is extremely valuable for the years 1849 and 1850, and then it went out of business. But it contains engravings and other information that you're not going to find anywhere else. Annual Registers. The Baptist Annual Register, edited by John Rippon. John Rippon got the idea for his annual register of the Baptist denomination. Let me start over on that. The Baptist Annual Register, edited by John Rippon, London, Dilly, Button, and Thomas et al., four volumes. Volume 1, 1790 to 1793, 2, 1793 to 97, 3, 1798 to 1801, 4, 1801 to 1802. You might think that since this was published in London, it wouldn't have anything to do with American Baptists, but actually there's a wealth of American Baptist material to be found in these volumes. John Asplund, the Annual Register of the Baptist Denomination in North America, to the 1st of November, 1790. This has been reprinted in a nice hardback edition, and is in facsimile, and is very valuable for Baptists of that period. John Asplund borrowed the idea from John Rippon and started an American Baptist Register, which he continued as the Universal Register of the Baptist Denomination in North America for the years 1790 through parts of 1794. These were published in this particular Boston 1794, but it contains updates from the 1790 edition all the way through 1794, and he's got them differentiated by the years. Ira Mason Allen, the United States Baptist Annual Register for 1832, published at Philadelphia in 1833, which includes an annual list of the deaths of Baptist ministers for the previous year. Very valuable register for showing you the location as far as where pastors at 1833 and the churches they were ministering at. Sometimes he will give you history of those churches and in the back section by state. And then I am Allen, the Triennial Baptist Register number 2 for 1836, and it's the same could be said for it. And it is this volume right here. I forgot to add on Isaac McCoy's Annual Register of Indian Affairs, 1835 to 1838, which we at Particular Baptist Press, I'm glad to say, were the first ones to reprint those registers. And they are very valuable as far as home missions to the Indians are concerned. So there you have all the annual registers that were done by Baptists. And next we go to the individual church histories. Many of these are extremely well done, while others are not very helpful. If you should engage in writing and publishing a church's history, be sure to include the original doctrinal articles, whether you agree with them or not, as well as all of the names of the constituting members. Again, detail is the key to a useful and enduring church history. A word to the wise, confining the first 100 years to 5 pages and from the 1960s on to the next 100 or more pages may satisfy current church members, but it will certainly limit the appeal and usefulness of your book to other readers. So please bear that in mind. If you're going to make the effort to do a church history, try to balance out the entire history of the church. Autobiographies and biographies. As with church histories, the quality of biographical works varies greatly. The ones produced in the 19th century, as a rule, are superior to those of the 20th, with a few notable exceptions. If you desire to write a biography on an individual, honestly portray them as they were, doctrinally and otherwise, and not as you would like for them to have been. Just as important is to avoid the modern pitfall of being overly critical of your subject solely to appear objective and scholarly to others. Denominational pamphlets. These we divide into 3 categories, polemical works, ordination and funeral sermons, and historical discourses, which would include church histories and movements, etc. And then we come to this next category, which is a valuable category. Unusual places to look. One, I would mention in this regard, Holmes Amidown, Historical Collections, New York, published by the author, 1874, 2 volumes. A lot of good Baptist information in these volumes. Secondly, David Benedict, 50 Years Among the Baptists, New York, 1860, a very interesting but often overlooked work from a first-hand observer of the times, personalities, and events he describes. 3, your local genealogical library will prove to be a gold mine. Many of the volumes found there will not be available online. So don't assume that because in this day and age you have internet access that you no longer need to consult books in a library, because that's far from the truth. 3, your local genealogical library will prove to be a gold mine in other areas, especially if they have the Evans Collection. Sometimes state libraries will have the Evans Collection. These may be at your college library near you. We have the fortune of having an Evans Collection here at MSU. It's down in the basement, and it's well worth consulting for Baptist works, original pamphlets, finding original pamphlets. County histories, number 5, county histories, especially those produced in the 19th century. Note, the 19th century county histories are uniformly the best. Because published works are old, don't make them necessarily good, or those that are new necessarily bad, but taken as a whole, the historical and genealogical works of this period are unsurpassed for sheer information and detail. And then some suggested websites, history homepage. My friend Robert Duvall has posted a lot of good Baptist information on the Baptist History homepage. Google Books, of course, we mentioned that many times. eBay is a good source for finding Baptist works if you want to own original copies. And as well, abebooks.com. You just punch in the author and title of what you're looking for. Other key resources. One, extra denominational biographies and histories. Look over the fence to discovering interesting material relating to the Baptists. Look over the fence to discover interesting material relating to the Baptists. For example, skim through the table of contents pages on the earlier biographies of Methodist circuit riders for encounters with the Baptists. Some of those can be quite interesting and entertaining. Or the journals of George Whitfield, etc. Same. Second, Lewis P. Little, Imprisoned Preachers and Religious Liberty in Virginia, 1938. Or William Thom, The Struggle for Religious Liberty in Virginia, The Baptists, Baltimore, 1900. Third, William Warren Sweet, Religion on the American Frontier, Volume 1 of 4, The Baptists, New York, 1931. Use this in conjunction with Catherine C. Cleveland, The Great Revival in the West, 1797 to 1805, which was published at Chicago in 1916. Four, Oliver W. Elsbury, The Rise of the Missionary Spirit in America, 1790 to 1815. Use this in conjunction with Byron C. Lambert, The Rise of the Anti-Mission Baptists, Sources and Leaders, which was published as a doctoral dissertation in 1957 and reprinted by Arnold Press in 1980. And then I conclude with this quote from Matthew Henry. Though it must be acknowledged that we live in an age which, by feeding upon ashes and the wind, has very much lost the relish of everything that is spiritual and evangelical, yet we persuade ourselves there is still to be found who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Thank you again.